Thanks for joining us for today's message. We are always so encouraged to hear how God is working through this ministry to change lives. If you have a story to share about how God has worked in your life, then let us know by sending us an email to mystory@timberlakechurch.com. Also, if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so by giving online at timberlakechurch.com/give. Enjoy the message.
Hope you're doing well today. I'm Ben. I'm the lead pastor. Want to welcome those watching online or other campuses. We are finishing up a series today called A Better Us. Next week, I start a new series called Resurgence. And in that, looking at taking ground in our life, in our faith. We're going to be going over a book of the Bible. It'll be really practical, but you're going to learn a lot as we spend some time in the book of Titus. So encourage you, even if you're not a Bible person, you're going to learn a lot, maybe even how to engage in that, or maybe in a deeper way. Well, this week I am closing out the series. I had a good week. I was at a conference, and as I was going to the conference, I was at the airport in the TSA line. There was a lady in front of me, and there was a guy in front of her. And the guy was, you know, there and, you know, sort of fumbling, but all of that. There's two TSA agents open. If you don't travel much, not only are you going to learn about the Bible, I'm going to teach you how to go through a TSA line today. So this guy sort of blocking both lanes. You could tell he was looking a little self-important there. And there's two open agents. It's like, go, man, go. I didn't say anything. The lady in front of me walked around, and he goes, huh, the nerve. I was standing here. And, you know, at that point, I felt like the Lord had told me to talk to him prophetically. And so she goes around, I give her a look, and I'm like, dude, not a big deal. And he looks at me like, what do you have to say? So we go through the line, she looks at me again, and I said, hey, at least I didn't say what I wanted to say. She said, what did you want to say, Pastor Ben? I wanted to tell him how much Jesus loved him. That's what I wanted to say. And so basically, this is for someone who's watching in Spokane. Thank you. It was really good to run into you at the airport. Well, we come in these moments that are directional for us. And they really can have impact on our relationships. That's what I want to talk about today in particular. Last week was a great service. Pastor Dave Nelson, he was talking about how love is a choice, and it's a choice that can change everything for us. And I after the service, I didn't have to preach, so I went where I always go for spiritual nourishment afterwards, went to Costco, was there. And I noticed something as I was in Costco, that it's the holidays in terms of Costco already. Have you noticed that? Yeah, I like, by the way, you're saying, oh, can I get, what, Halloween candy? That was gone 2 months ago. No, I mean, and evidently it was, Thanksgiving doesn't exist anymore because there's nothing about that. It was all about Christmas. And Christmas, and there are Christmas stuff out there. It's okay. Obviously, I love to celebrate what God did through him sending his son into the world. I also love all the holiday stuff that's non-biblically related around Christmas. I like almost everything about Christmas. The only thing I don't like is Hallmark Christmas movies. I know some of you are saying, what? These are wonderful. I think it's a sign the enemy's at work in the world, you know. I heard someone else speaking, and he was talking about his wife in Hallmark Christmas movies, and he deleted one of those. And I've got something better than that. When we were running out of DVR space, my wife, who loves Hallmark movies, we were running out of space, and so I thought, what will I delete that won't matter? And so I deleted all her Hallmark shows. I literally, for those of you who are from a Pentecostal background, I saw a demon manifest at that point. She was not happy. She said, I wasn't through with one of those shows. I want to see how it ends. I'm like, really? You don't know how a Hallmark movie ends? Let me tell you how it ends. Within the first 3 minutes, I can tell you what's going to happen in a Hallmark movie. I can tell you who's going to end up with who. And if it's, let's say it's a Christmas movie, and there's going to be one person, and they don't really like Christmas. They're cynical about Christmas. And they're going to get together with a person who loves Christmas. And they're sort of distant, and they're going to have this awkward relationship, but then things are going to happen in the relationship. They're going to go ice skating. They're going to have a snowball fight. They might visit a Christmas tree farm. They might have hot chocolate together. And they're going to dig into the cynic's childhood and why he really hates Christmas. And then what's going to happen is they're going to have a kiss, but it's going to be an interrupted kiss. And you're going to at that moment, here's what you're going to think. Oh, no, they might never kiss. Don't worry. Because what's going to happen is there's going to come another moment where they're back together and they're going to kiss, and all of a sudden snow is going to start falling. And they're going to look up like they've never seen snow before. And they're going to laugh and they're going to kiss. That's how the movie ends. I just saved you several hours of your life. But we know this to be true, that relationships don't end with a kiss. They begin often with a kiss. And then what happens is we go through life, and there's bills to pay, and there's babies to feed, and kids who get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there are flannel pajamas, and there are mud masks. And we think, when we hit those things sometimes, this wasn't supposed to happen. And in reality, it happens to all of us. It's the stuff of life. And how we move through those moments in life determine everything. See, here's what can happen otherwise, is we start to believe that because these things are happening, there's something wrong. Or maybe I married the wrong person from the Hallmark movie. And the truth is, neither of those. Love is a choice that we lean into. The Apostle Paul, when he was giving instructions, he put it this way. Notice the language. There's not a lot of emotion language in it. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. That's my favorite verse in the Bible, by the way. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. And what he's describing is a bunch of actions that we take that lead to a better us. And so as we close out the series this week, I want to be intensely practical as we look at this. And so I'm going to look at four really choices or steps that we can take. And you can apply this to your work relationship, family relationships, definitely if you're married or dating or engaged. Number one, you guard your heart and understand your motivations. And when I say about heart, often we think about how I'm feeling. We took the Enneagram, if you didn't with us, we have a free version, where we understand who we are, our heart, and our motivations. But we need to understand it in terms of how it impacts other people. Because we live in a culture where, I came across this article, and it said that more people die taking selfies than in shark attacks. Like, you can go in the ocean, Hawaii, swim with sharks. That's not dangerous. This is dangerous. And we sort of live in this culture where we're focused on how am I presenting, how am I feeling. But our heart, this is what Jesus says, a good man brings good things stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so, yes, you matter. You matter to God. You matter to us. If you've been around this church, I hope you get that. But I hope you also get it's not just about you. And in a relationship, if you lean that way at all, it's going to be sad. Instead, we need to say, God, what are you doing in my heart? The Apostle Paul put it this way, therefore, as God's people, holy and dearly loved, you are loved. And then there's a choice. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Dr. John Gottman, he as he describes relational breakdown, he says, here's what will often happen, is it starts with disappointment. We're disappointed. Hey, you know, you're a little bit different than I am, and I'm disappointed. And that'll lead to a frustration. And then it'll lead to bitterness. Hey, this wasn't supposed to turn out this way. And that can lead to contempt. And that path, once we go down that path, it's not impossible, but difficult to turn back. So one of the things we can do is, number two, identify the problems and tensions in your relationships. Learned about this when I was reading a book by Andy Stanley. He talks quite a bit about this, is that there's tensions to be managed and problems to be solved. Problems we need to solve, we need to tackle. Tensions are things like, I'm an Enneagram 8 and you're an Enneagram 1, and wow, we look at life differently. I like to challenge your perfectionist. Okay, that's a tension because we are who God created us to be. You're a morning person. I'm an evening person. You're a spender. I'm a saver. And these are things that you're going to have to work out. And we manage these tensions. You know, in the book, The Seven Habits of an Effective Marriage, it says that 70% of our conflict are tensions that actually won't go away. That may not be encouraging to you, that we manage them. And oftentimes we try to solve them, and we need to be careful because we need to honor how God has created the other. It says this, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly come to ruin. Ephesians 4:2, we're told, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And number three, is given that we have these tensions to be managed and there's problems to be solved, is we need to seek wisdom. We need to seek wisdom. I said this, I think it was maybe our Saturday night or our first service today, I can't remember which, but I was talking about one of the problems, especially in our area, that we will run into. And here's how it goes. Maybe God has blessed you. And you know what? You got into the school you wanted to get into, and that's good, and you achieved in school. That is a great thing. You have a job, and you're doing pretty well at your job. That's a wonderful thing. Maybe you're involved in a sport, and you're doing well in that. And here's what will happen, and I've seen it happen many, many times, is you'll say, hey, I show up to school, I'm successful, work, I'm successful, athletics, I'm successful, and therefore, we buy into the myth of omnicompetence. Therefore, I must be good at relationships too. And can I tell you something? That in our area, high achieving, there is no greater success in relationships. In fact, I would say they are more challenged. Because the energy and effort we put into other areas of our life, we get a little bit lax when it comes to our relationships. So if you say, hey, Ben, I'm doing great at work, I'm doing great at everything else, of course I'm going to do relationships well. I say, you know what, you actually might do not as well as other people. Because there's a work we need to put into it. And I know that's not, you know, I know what you want to say. Hey, there's 3 points in a poem, that'll be good enough. But no, there's things we need to learn. And so what I want to do today is something a little bit different. Dr. Rene Bordeaux, who's a professor at Northwest University, most popular professor, teaches relationships. She has actually written a textbook on communication in relationships. She also is a very smart person because she has decided to attend Timberlake Church. And she has agreed to share with us a little bit. Okay, I'm over here. That's great. This morning, and really good to meet. Renee, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing and really how you came to faith.
All right. Well, I grew up Catholic and grew up doing all of the Catholic things and did, I think, what is not uncommon for teenagers, and that was I went through a faith crisis in my teenage years, my late teenage years, and that carried on into college. And so for me, that meant I didn't really see the light of the Lord as brightly as I should have. And then, luckily for me, I met the most wonderful man who happens to be my husband, who's here with me today, Paul. And when I met him, the Lord, like when he talked about his faith, his light just shined, right? Like it was something that really inspired me. But as we started to get more serious and talk about how are we going to walk forward and get married, I knew I had to be vulnerable with him and tell him that I was struggling with my faith. And so together we built a faith life together, and it's beautiful, and it's carried on to this day, carried us to Timberlake. And everything was going great. I was a vice president working in the business world, and then the Lord basically said I needed to go back and study relationships. I think he had been subtly trying to say it for a couple of years, and I didn't listen, and so he had to say it a little bit more dramatically. But I went back to study relationships, and so as I was trying to figure out what am I supposed to be looking at in these relationships, I was realizing that we're studying relationships right now in negative ways, like how are relationships breaking down, why are there divorces, infidelity, all of those things. And I said, well, why aren't we looking at the bright side? Like, what about the good functioning relationships? How do we make those stronger? And so I would be what is considered a bright side scholar.
That's great. And look at the positive. You are what on the Enneagram?
I'm an Enneagram type 7. Any other 7s out there? Yeah!
All right. Life of the party, right?
Yes. And you know, it's what keeps me talking.
Well, when you look at the positive mm-hmm. part of relationships and how we can really make decisions now to have a better us mm-hmm. instead of after the fact. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing some trends though that we should be looking out for as it comes to our relationships?
Excellent question. So with trends, one of the things that actually I have a colleague, Dr. Ann Burnett, is studying busyness. And she came across this simply because she started to notice a trend in the Christmas letters she was getting. People were writing her letters and they were bragging about what they were doing, their kids were doing, and it was like the never-ending list of all of the busy. And so she started asking people to mail them, and she has piles and piles of Christmas letters dating back from the 1960s, but the theme that she found were people were wearing this busyness like a badge of honor. And so in the danger for that is in relationships, if we're spending so much of our time trying to find more ways to be involved, we're not taking as much time in our relationships. So busyness is number one. Number two is technology. Technology is amazing. We have amazing phones. There's like new phones coming out all the time. We have these watches that do cool things. And the challenge is they're changing so fast. So as a relational scholar, one of the things that's hard is by the time I study something or researchers in my area study something, the technology is no longer even working. Like, people aren't using it as much. And so because it's changing so much, it's hard for us to know what is really helping relationships and what is hurting relationships.
So is your, you talked about technology, mm-hmm. and this really maybe can speak to the next question as we look at preventative steps, that we can leverage technology mm-hmm. though in a positive way. Why don't you talk about that and then some other preventative steps so we don't, you know, run into the problem.
So with technology, one of the beautiful things is we do have the technology with us almost all of the time. And research is also telling us we use it for things like tuning out or relaxing. So when we're on there, we're scrolling through our Instagram feeds or our Facebook feeds, or we're playing those video games. But what we're not doing is connecting out in relationships. So there is a communication theory called social information processing theory, which tells you you can have really good relationships over technology. It just takes you a lot longer than it does if you're doing it face-to-face. Sure. So when you're having your technology in your hand, one of the things you can proactively do is say, instead of scrolling Instagram, I can actually take this time and construct a text to my spouse to tell them that I love them, or I'm proud of them, or I'm thinking of them. Send a message to people that you love instead of scrolling, because what you're looking for is that feel-good effect. Mm-hmm. Right? You're trying to just break away from the stress of your daily life. Sending a really nice message to somebody you love will give you that same feel-good effect.
Wait, so you're talking about technology, mm-hmm. we can leverage that in the positive. There's a lot of people in more at Timber, like more of you are people who are coming in a little younger, dating, engaged, would like to be dating. And so what are things that they can be looking out for so they make the right choices as they enter into a relationship?
So as they enter into a relationship, so this is one of the topics that I talk about a lot on campus because college students are always dating and doing all those fun things. But so for the beginning of a relationship, there's this attraction that's happening. And with attraction, the Lord embedded in us this ability to see beauty, but what happens is that's all we see. It blinds us, right? We have these rose-colored glasses, and we're not able to see truly who the other person is. So I would say if you're dating or engaged or really thinking about relationship, you should be looking for two things. The first thing, and this comes from a book, Mingling of Souls by Matt Chandler, he says that you should be looking for commitment. So from an outsider's perspective, watching the person that you like and say, do they say, I'm going to go to church on Sunday and then actually show up to church on Sunday? Do they sign up for a growth group and then make it a commitment in their schedule? If they say they're going to get healthier this year, do they take steps to commit to doing something about the goals that they've set? Watching somebody from the outside and how they commit to those goals can be a really important thing because marriage is a really long commitment.
Forever.
Forever. It's like it lasts forever.
And ever. No, just kidding.
And ever. It keeps going. So watching for commitment from the outside, you can by the behaviors they're doing, you can see a lot about commitment. And the other thing that you can be looking for is suffering. And what I mean by the word suffering is the Apostle James actually says when we are faced with challenges, it reveals a steadfastness in our faith. And when we're faced with challenges, how we deal with those challenges or what we do with those challenges is really shaping us into the person that God needs us to be in his kingdom. So watching from an outsider's perspective, how does the person that I'm in love with deal with the family drama? Do they ignore it or do they try to do something about it? How do they deal with conflicts that they have with their coworkers or with friends? When they have the things that are stressing them out, are they approaching those challenges and finding ways to live in to learning more about their gifting in the world and becoming who the Lord asked them to be? Whenever you hear people tell you stories about this really powerful faith life or these realizations, it comes through the challenges that they faced. And so if you watch how a person approaches suffering, it kind of tells you how willing they are to go after and become the best person that they can be.
You know, I've seen that too with people in a marriage relationship, that how they work through problems, or if they work through them instead of around them, that you get a healthier relationship. And oftentimes, even those who didn't go through the difficulty, they won't have as strong a relationship as those who've walked through those difficult problems. So every once in a while, I get this. So when I'm talking to, I don't do a lot of it anymore, but I do some counseling with dating or engaged couples. And they'll say, oh, this person is not good at commitment. They avoid problems. But it's going to be different because we are in love.
Right. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. And is that how it works out?
Not usually.
Not usually. Yeah. It's that we sort of bring who we are into the relationship. So there's a lot of things. So I've read, obviously, on this for years and studied. What are some counterintuitive, or maybe I would say more non-intuitive steps that people who are wanting to go the next level in their relationships might take?
So if you're in a relationship right now, and if you're married, these are great tactics as well. You want to be able to find a way to take it to the next level. So the book I referenced earlier by Matt Chandler, he gives us a really good analogy. He says you have to go from hanging out to sorting out. And with that sorting out, my first piece of advice that's non-intuitive is you have to talk about all of the things. And by all of the things, I mean every single thing about who you are and what has brought you to where you are today. And what do those things look like? Number one, talk about your wounds. What is the baggage that you're bringing with you in this relationship? There are still some things that people aren't comfortable talking about because they're shameful or they feel guilt about what they've done. But if you don't open up and disclose that to your partner, they can't walk through you towards that healing and forgiveness that you're working towards. So talk about the past and what baggage you're bringing with you. Also talk about the present day. When we are so busy, we're not taking the time to say, how can we continue to work towards this? I'm struggling with things. This was really stressful. This thing at work is driving me crazy. Let them walk next to you and help you along the path. But you know, these sound like really heavy things. Yes, you should be talking about all of the things, but talk about the amazing things as well. Talk about hopes and dreams for the future. So I shared that I have my husband and I have my daughter here too. I have two high schoolers, and my husband and I are so excited that they're gonna graduate someday, and then we're gonna have a house, and we're gonna be able to like go on vacation by ourselves. So our hopes and dreams are...
And then they move back in. Well, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, actually, I'm not kidding.
He's ruining my dreams, yes.
You just keep on going.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep having those hopes and dreams, but it leads our conversations, and it gives us something to talk about and work towards. So he knows what I'm aiming for, and we both have a vision. So number one, talk about all of the things, even the things that are hard. Number two, when you are trying to figure out how do we take our relationship deeper, and this one's not going to sound fun, so you have to hang with me until I explain it all the way, but you need to schedule a status of the relationship date on a regular basis. And in the status of the relationship date, you should be doing things, you're doing the business of your relationship. And so the first thing you should say is, what am I doing in this relationship that rocks? Like, how am I really bringing it? How am I really leading into your love language? Like, how am I really helping our marriage? But the second thing, and this is the one that takes bravery and the willingness to work on your relationship, is say, where am I failing? What am I not doing well? How am I not loving you enough? And my husband and I have these on a regular basis. And, you know, I'm so thankful when he says, honey, I just feel like you're not listening to me. Like, you're not doing a good job. And that's also scary for him to say those things, especially because, you know, he'll say, well, don't you teach these things? And I do, but I also fail.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't it funny? Because I get that too. From my wife. She says, hey, you communicate for a living, but when you come home, you sort of forget those skills.
Yes. I might have heard those exact same things.
But isn't it different, like for those of us who communicate publicly, it's not always the same interpersonally, is it?
It's not. It's different. And so being able to be open to getting that feedback about where we're falling. And then the third thing to ask in those status of the relationship dates that are really important is, how can I help you? We've just shared some examples of understanding where they've come from and how you can walk next to them, hearing them say, listen, I really need your support on Tuesday. I have a big meeting. I really have something coming up. I need you to pray for me. I cannot tell you how much it means to me when my husband knows I have a really busy or stressful day, and he texts me and says, I'm praying for you. I know you have this coming up. Like, that text means the world to me, because I know that he's lifting my name up in prayer as well, and it's going to help me tackle things. So it doesn't sound fun, but the status of the relationship means I'm committed to working on this relationship with you, and how do we do it better?
So as we have been going through this series, you and I talked just briefly here today, what's some parting words of advice you would give us as we try to build healthier, a better us, really?
Build a better us. So I would point out, and so we kind of hinted at the preventative maintenance a little bit earlier on. There's actually a theory that I teach a lot in my classes called relational maintenance theory. It's been around since the early 90s, and it says there is a list of behaviors that if you use them on a regular basis, they can make your relationship stronger. And I would think about maintenance the same way you'd think about your car. If your car is going to run out of gas, you want to put gas in it. Like, you have to be able to continue to care for your relationship. So with relational maintenance, things like we've been talking about the self-disclosure, but also positivity. Positivity really is an important thing. So if you took the Enneagram, you saw at the end, it listed all of the other types that you have in you, just maybe not dominant. That doesn't mean only an Enneagram type 7 can be positive in your relationship. So and according to the research around relational maintenance, positivity actually makes the biggest difference in your married relationships, your friendships, your family relationships. So even if you're facing challenges, even if you're facing stress, being able to still put a smile on, being able to walk with that other person. And positivity is not just like being cheerful. It's also things like trying to be uncritical. So can you bring that positivity into the relationship? That will get you the most mileage, if you will, if you're going to try any of those strategies. Remember to bring some positivity.
And I think as a Christ follower, mm-hmm. is that we say, okay, we have all our skills, and really we can probably mm-hmm. make a better us, but that the Lord can intervene too, mm-hmm. and that he can do a work in our heart that we never thought could be done, mm-hmm. and in our spouse's heart as well.
And if we're willing to work on it,
yep.
and we're both willing to be vulnerable and make those changes, the Lord can come in and make great.
Isn't it that it's like making good decisions and good actions in partnership with being open to what God would do?
Mm-hmm.
So, I can see why your classes are the most popular at Northwest University, and I'm so thankful that you shared with us today. Can we give Renee a hand?
Thank you.
And that really leads to the final point, and that's to commit to a new path. That's where we say, and Renee and I were talking about this, is often we can build our life over here, our spouse's life over here, and there's not a lot of overlap in the middle. Maybe there's a couple bills, some kids, and what was... Remember we started out this series, the two will become one flesh. And when that breaks apart, do you know that God can do something? God can do a work. And it begins when he does the work in us. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Where we say, God, would you build a new heart in me? Would you give me the courage to take the right steps as we build a better us? Well, I'm going to come back up in a moment, but I want you to hear a couple who, it's not an incredibly emotional story, but how as they came really back to faith and how they started taking those steps in their relationship as well. Take a look at the screen.
Hi, I'm Renee.
And I'm Eric.
And we live in Issaquah Highlands, and we've had the pleasure of attending the Issaquah campus of Timberlake for goodness, about the last 2 years, I think.
So I grew up in a traditional family. The father is the breadwinner. My mom stayed home as the domestic engineer. And so that was the example that I had. However, what I didn't recognize until later years was, number one, there was no faith in the family. Also, I'm not sure my dad ever asked my mom what she was thinking or what she needed.
I had a little bit of a different experience growing up as role models of what marriage should look like. Both my parents have been together, they're still together, 50 plus years. However, my mom worked and my father was a man that had had a large temper, and so there was a lot of shouting in the house, and my mom was the peacekeeper. And so hence why I had a very difficult time communicating, because it was just easier for me to clam up and not deal with what was happening. And so I didn't really have a good example of what a strong marriage looks like.
We came in contact with Timberlake through a mailer that we received, and both of us had grown up in a church with our families, and my wife was actually watching online for quite a long time.
And with Timberlake, I just want to go. I hate missing any Sundays, and when we do miss a Sunday, we try and come on a Saturday night. The messages that we hear every week, we apply the very next day or even that same day, and it's just been very impactful to us.
So once we found out about Reengage, even though we felt we had a very strong relationship, we're always lifelong learners, so how can we make it better? And that's exactly what happened. We learned, we grew, we talked about things that we hadn't talked about before.
We were all human, and we were allowed to be human. We were allowed to be ourselves. God has been such a huge foundation for us, because we've had some really ups and downs in our marriage. I mean, we almost lost everything, everything meaning financially. We lost our jobs, both of us at one point. We went bankrupt. We almost lost the house. I mean, we went through some really tough times, and every time there was this, we knew that everything was going to be okay, and we knew that because we had that strong faith. I would say that we have a stronger faith and more active faith now that we're with Timberlake.
I didn't know what to expect with Reengage. I didn't know what was going to come, exactly how the dynamics were going to play out. I knew the subjects because we looked at the book. But when I went there, the chemistry that was in that room just allowed me, regardless of what my thoughts were, just to say, hey, this is great. Let's help each other. Going there, I felt a little bit vulnerable, but once I got in there and started talking and just a few icebreaker questions, it was very, very clear, not only the chemistry in the group, but also the dynamics that were about to happen. I walked away a better person, deeper in my faith, deeper in my relationship with the church and all the people here. So I just simply have to say it was one of the best things, if not the best thing I've ever done in my life.
And as we close out this series, I want you to know that there's lots of great next steps. Reengage starts this next week. Groups start. But there's a primary step of saying, Jesus, my heart is open to you. And the most important decision we ever make is that decision. Maybe you've already taken that step, and next week we're going to have water baptism, and you can say, you know what, I'm going to go public in my faith. We want to celebrate with you. But you might be at a place where you say, hey, I can never remember a time where I've invited Jesus Christ into my life. And I want to give you the opportunity to do that even now. Will you pray with me?
Thank you for listening to the Timberlake Church podcast. Stay connected with us by visiting timberlakechurch.com or follow us on Twitter or Facebook.